have you heard the latest from the Roman Catholic Church? It has now decided, in light of the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage, that they have no reason why they cannot call into the priesthood homosexual pastors. So, beginning next week, they will be looking for homosexual pastors, particularly in helping out with the young men who take care of the Mass. Oh, really? That's what we're going to be kind of talking about on this Law and Gospel. And we're calling it a Ruminations Wednesday, July the 15th in the year of our Lord 2015, for one very simple reason, is that our good friend Wes Reimnes has a funeral tomorrow, so we've moved the Rumination Day to Wednesday instead of Thursday. So welcome, Wes.
Good to hear from you, Tom. Glad to be with you this morning.
Oh, so you're happy to hear the Roman Catholics are going to open up the priesthood to homosexuals?
This is the first that I've heard of it.
Oh, it's the first you've heard of it? Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. You sent me an article. I made a mistake. It's not the Roman Catholic Church. It's the Boy Scouts.
Now that sounds a little bit better.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't.
No, are you kidding? Would you send your son to a Boy Scout meeting where a gay person is going to tell him that the gay lifestyle is an okay lifestyle?
Oh, no.
Of course not.
And this is coming from a father who was very, very much involved with Boy Scouts, and my son went through it. He stopped short that he didn't complete his Eagle Scout projects and things like that, but was very active. Was chaplain for one of the troops there here in Springfield, and went to scouting camps and things like that. And as I look at it, I go, no, I can no longer support it.
Yes, when they allowed gay boys in to be a member of the Boy Scouts, that lost a lot of individuals. I think they lost like 17%. Of their folks who were with the Boy Scouts. Because remember, and they're going to keep this, there's no change in the long-standing requirement that youth and adult Scout members profess a duty to God. Well, which God permits homosexual activity? Certainly not the God of the Bible. So the Boy Scouts are becoming like a Masonic lodge again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's wide open. And are they going to accept the Islamic God? And if they do accept the Islamic gods, they're anti-homosexuals, you know.
Exactly. I mean, this is really getting ridiculous. Why do you think they're doing this?
Well, the stuff I read on the Boy Scout site seems, I call it the don't ask, don't tell policy that we heard about under the Clinton administration. And it's an accommodation to avoid any kind of lawsuits or problems that may occur in the future. It's driven by finances.
Yes, it's all about money. It's all about that there are certain organizations that have stopped contributing to the Boy Scouts. And then the other thing is they're afraid of the suits that are going to be coming against the Boy Scouts if they don't allow this. Such suits will be coming against the church too, but I'm not too concerned about that. But, you know, if this is true, that the Boy Scouts feel that they've got to change this so they don't lose money, listen to this. It says, this change allows scouting members and parents to select local units, chartered organizations with similar beliefs that best meet the needs of their families, and therefore respects the right of religious chartered organizations to continue to choose adult leaders whose beliefs are consistent with their own. In other words, they're giving an exception to churches to say that they don't have to choose homosexual leaders. Well, how's that going to stop suits?
That's not. And it appears to be neutral on paper, which you just read, and you decide on your religious principle, but there's multitude of problems. Beyond the local troop, you have councils of adult leaders you know, for districts and states and things like that that climb up there. So they're going to encounter that. A lot of scouting camps in various locations have multiple camps, multiple troops going to their summer camps. You're going to have a mixture of that going on, and that's going to cause trouble. You got the major jamborees that they have.
Yes, that's the one thing I was concerned about.
Yeah, so you know, where does it, you know, in the minute you say, well, we're not in for it, oh, you got these problems, and you get the persecution or whatever, the rhetoric that goes with it that's going on right now. It won't stop.
You know, the same kind of reasoning in regard to homosexuals, they're born that way, they can't help themselves. I don't know why the Roman Catholic Church doesn't use that in simply saying, look, these priests were born that way, this is the way God would make them, so who are you to judge us?
Well, I like your other illustration that you use. You know, some people are born with that gene to go out and commit arson, and they're arsonists, but yet it's a crime. You know,
well, not if they're born that way. Who are you to judge somebody who's born that way? And that goes also for a pedophile.
Well, so long as they don't go out and commit the act of arson. See.
Yes, there's no doubt that that's true. But in the homosexual kind of situation, they can commit the act and they're still okay. So,
that's under their reasoning. Yeah.
So committing the act is okay in all of these areas if you can prove that you were born that way. I saw a Law and Order. It was really quite a great one, but it was about 12 years old before all this came on the scene. And it was a pedophile who had a 16-year-old, and they consented to what they were doing. She consented also. And he was on the stand arguing that he was born this way. Who were they to judge? They loved each other. And it was the same arguments used for those who want to have homosexual marriage, which, by the way, God does not recognize as a marriage.
Right. And for those reasons. Now, I got grandkids that are growing up. I would recommend to my son that he not send them and listen to that stuff.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait until the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod decides what they're going to do in light of this horrible decision. But one of the things is that there are other organizations. I know the Lutheran Church of the Wisconsin Synod has an organization. They never did want to become part of the regular Boy Scouts because of their praying together. Are you at all familiar with that Wisconsin Synod organization?
No, I've heard of it, but yeah, I know that there's been talks about setting up our own Lutheran structure of scouting.
Yeah, and I think that's, if they're going to insist, because you hit the nail on the head, it's one thing to have a kind of Boy Scout organization in your particular parish. It's quite another thing when you go to the jamborees. You don't know who's going to be up there saying what things. And what it could be is two Boy Scout leaders holding hands because they've already been married. And this is a abomination before Almighty God, and it's not something you want to send your children to.
Right. And I think you also hit the nail squarely when you talked about duty to God. You know, whose God are you going to follow? If you follow the God of the Scriptures, the God of the Scriptures says no to the acts of homosexuality. We're all forgiven in Christ, those that believe and trust and repent of their sins. But it's crossing the line when you say sin's okay.
Yes. Well, you know, on the very same page of the Post-Dispatch that talks about Boy Scouts executive panel okays ending ban on gay leaders, here's the other title. Pentagon readying plans to lift transgender ban in the military.
Yeah, I saw that too. I go, boy, it's not going to stop, is it?
No, and what is a transgender? Well, Bruce Jenner, you know, he's pretending to be a woman. He never will become a woman. He can put on his Halloween costume and change his complexion and this sort of thing. But it is impossible, as Johns Hopkins University has shown, for a man ever to become a woman or for a woman ever to become a true man. You just, it's surgically impossible. And listen to the problems that the military has to figure out if they're going to do this. They have to figure out these difficult questions about where these transgender troops will be housed, what uniforms they would wear, what berthing they would have on ships, which bathrooms they would use, and whether their presence would affect the ability of small units to work well together. Now, I'll tell you this, if I was on a ship and with us in our small group was a man who wanted to become a woman and he had woman's features and such, but I knew him to be a man, you don't think that's going to cause a problem?
Oh, yes. Well, and then on top of that, the various medications that they have to do to maintain that, who's going to pay for that?
Well, that's also in the article because they want to take a look as to whether or not that the military is going to pay for this surgery and this sort of thing. You know, there's a fellow in jail who's suddenly decided he wants to be of the other gender, and the government seems to say that they're going to have to go ahead and pay for that surgery. I mean, that this is really getting very interesting. But to say that this isn't going to affect morale, well, we'll have to wait and see on that. But transgender people, these are folks who refuse to have the vocation that God has assigned to them. And therefore, as stats are showing, a number of these transgender people, once they do the surgery, after a short period of time, they want to return the way they were. They found out they don't have the kind of happiness they thought they were going to have. And all they had to do was read the Bible to find that out. But of course, you know, in this day and age, it would be very difficult, I think, for a military chaplain to speak out against somebody who's homosexual or is a transgendered individual.
Well, it kind of... I hearken back, and it reminds me of the, what it takes for anybody in order to get to heaven. And I think I believe that our president, President Harrison, probably stated it best. You know what that is? What's the one requirement we all have to have?
Go ahead.
We got to be sinners.
Yes.
You know, we are sinners.
But to get to heaven, you need to be a repentant sinner.
That's right.
So that's something that transgendered people and these folks who are going into gay marriage are not repentant, and that's why we fear what's going to happen to them, according to 1 Corinthians 6, that they will not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot point to any individual and say, you're going to hell, because we can't read hearts. But right. We can make the general statement that those who die in that condition will not be going to heaven, but only God knows the true condition of their heart when they die.
And I think that that's an important point, because on a Sunday morning when we come to worship, we make a confession of the sins corporately as each individual, stating in our confessions, I, a poor, miserable sinner, you know, I am the one that's responsible for the sins that I've committed and repented of it. And then we hear the forgiveness.
Yeah, I don't know about your father, but anytime I did something wrong, I was always afraid to go home and admit it to him. I remember there was a rule, and I've said this before, but it's been a while. You can't throw snowballs at girls. So I was throwing a snowball at a telephone pole, but the girl moved in the way and got hit in the head. So at any rate,
yeah, right.
I not only got punished by the school, but they phoned my dad. So I tell you, I took a little bit more time playing baseball. I walked home. I hoped he would forget about it. And, of course, he didn't. You know, so I got a punishment at home also. God the Father is quite different than my dad, because what God the Father loves to hear is that I am a disobedient sinner, because by saying that, I'm giving all the credit to his son, Jesus Christ, for my salvation.
Yeah, it kind of reminds you of the thief on the cross, you know, who finally says, you know, we're getting what we deserve.
Right.
And then says, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
And that's really quite amazing. Augustine has a little poem on that. He even gives a name to the thief. I think it's Longinus. But he says to the thief, he says, where do you see his crown except that crown of thorns? Where do you see his scarlet robe except for the blood? Where do you see his throne except for the cross upon which he is affixed? And he goes through a number of those things. How can you call him Lord? How can you ask? And the reason is because the Holy Spirit had created faith in the thief to believe that Jesus was the fulfillment of the promised Messiah.
That's right. I mean, it's you know, as I said in one of my Bible classes, I in Havana years ago, I was mentioning how they were willing to confess their sins. And one of the ladies in the Bible class raised her hand. She says, that's because we know what's coming next.
Yes.
You know, because we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're going to hear that we are forgiven.
And that forgiveness is something that we're going to be offering to those who are in gay marriage. In fact, I know some people say, well, gay marriage isn't like abortion. You're not going to have a lot of people doing walks against gay marriage. No, you're going to have something else happening. You're going to have true Christians speaking to people in a gay marriage and showing them that according to the law, that lifestyle is an abomination before Almighty God, and using the Holy Spirit, therefore, to create faith within them. So I see this as a wonderful opportunity for the Holy Christian Church to use its law and gospel principles to bring people back to the fold.
I think that's an excellent point that you make. You know, last night I was watching a PBS program on ISIS where they had done some videos of ISIS and brought it out, and they took homosexuals, or what they perceive were homosexuals, up to third and fourth story building and threw them off.
Yeah, I know.
The building to kill them. We don't go out and murder homosexuals. As Christians, we sit down and talk to them about the consequences awaiting them of God's judgment, and we want to bring them into the kingdom of God and into that forgiveness.
If you want to phone, our numbers in St. Louis are 821-0850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. That's 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. Right now, we're talking about the Boy Scouts, and we do need to make a point that the Boy Scouts haven't yet their main board voted on this. This is only their 17-member executive committee that has recommended this change, and they did it unanimously. So normally the board, which I think meets on July the 27th, follows the executive committee, but hopefully they'll be getting and receiving enough emails and letters saying that this will be probably ending our relationship with you.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I can perceive that in many quarters where that's going to come out, where we just don't follow along with what they are. I can see a parallel organization of the Scouts starting to rise.
Yes, one that really does believe duty to God, because the God that we believe in is the Holy Trinity, and it's very clear that the Holy Trinity has made clear that you cannot permit a leader to misguide youth. And when you have a leader who's living a lifestyle that is an abomination before Almighty God, it would be like okaying a pedophile to be a leader, okaying people who sell heroin or marijuana. I mean, just go down the list. Just because the government says something is legal in no way means that that's something the church should follow. In fact, there are about 12 things I've related that is legal in the United States of America, but the church will take discipline against those of our members who follow it. Let's go to the phone lines and begin our talk with Herman. Hi, Herman.
Thank you. Yes. Not all that many years ago, the Boy Scouts spent a lot of time and money legally to go before ultimately the Supreme Court that gave them the right to exclude active homosexual men for, as being scoutmasters on basically the right of association. And that there is pending another organization to arise that will not involve the promotion of homosexuality, at least at this time, as everybody is very, very concerned exactly what civil liberties remain. So far, the Supreme Court had validated the Boy Scouts' authority to exclude active homosexuals from the Scoutmasters. Now, does this same-sex marriage ruling, exactly what does it overturn? What is kept in place in terms of civil liberties that apply even to churches and the whole scope of things? I think that's a big, wide question, that a lot of which the details and answers aren't there yet.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks so very much for calling there, Herman. In fact, yesterday I was listening to the news, and there were some folks, well, these nuns who will probably, well, they've already lost in court because they refused to pay for health care that has contraceptives, and therefore they're no longer supposed to be able to continue in their it's a large retirement center taking care of older people, and because of the refusal to follow the law, they may lose that ability to take care of those people. But their lawyer came on and said, you know, every time it's gone to the Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the church. So we're just praying that it will be come before the Supreme Court and that ruling will be overturned. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines right now. And let's go ahead and talk with Mike. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Very good. How can we help you?
Well, I was, you know, I know about this thing myself, and I think it's very consistent that, you know, with what's going on in this country, because the country is going in the direction of radical feminism, and I would think that any organization, any especially a male organization that advocates traditional morality would really be sexist in their opinion. So I could see where the court, you know, where the people that control society would really be against the Boy Scouts.
I sure appreciate that comment, and I think you're correct there, Mike. In fact, I just read an article where some radical feminists, you know, they accuse God of child abuse because he put his son to death, Wes.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one.
Yep.
Boy, that's getting out there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You see, and it was a point I was making in the Bible study that I had in Emmanuel Olivet last night. With young adults, and there were a number of them there, that every religion in the world concocts an image of God that mirrors themselves.
Yes, that I'd read too. That was rather interesting.
And the only thing I could say was that only God knows God. You don't, except for the small amount of information we find in the Holy Bible.
Wasn't it in the Old Testament? We called it Baal. They made it out of stone and wood.
Yes. Yeah, that's a real problem that, of course, a lot of people are having. And the God that we believe in is not one that would want our kids sent to something like this. Let's go back to the phone lines and let's speak with Mark. Mark, you're on the air.
Well, good morning, pastors.
Good morning.
Morning.
Just wanted to ask and relate all of these situations back to law and gospel and the application of one or the other. Does this call for preaching of law or application of law, or should we be nice and preach the gospel to these folks?
Wes?
Ooh, that's a good question. You would have to, in a very nice way, present the law to them. You got to have law before you have gospel. because the gospel just falls on deaf ears.
Yeah, I would say that it depends on the attitude of the person. If they're like the Pharisees, just really arguing with you and trying to crucify and persecute you, they just need to hear the strong law. In fact, it would be a sin to tell them that they are forgiven. But if they're like the Samaritan woman at the well who continued the conversation with Jesus, you saw what that led to, the entire village was converted. So it depends to a great degree on how the person is speaking with you as to whether you finally do give the gospel. And if there's an opportunity for that, he says, well, what hope do I have or something? Then it's time to speak the gospel.
Well, when I think of the scripture where John the Baptist is calling out Herod, he wasn't being real nice, as I understand it in the scripture. He was calling him out for adultery, and for that he got beheaded.
Yes, but also remember that Herod was really interested in what he was saying, and he was really upset when he fell into the trap of giving the head to the daughter. Hey, thanks so much, Wes, and hopefully we'll get back on schedule next the following Thursday.
We're done already?
Yep. I'm Tom Baker, and by the way, listen carefully now. We do need some funding to continue Law and Gospel on KFUO. Please listen to how you can do that at this time. Thanks very much. Talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.